another Saturday night. It's Winfrey and Don Newsom with the Don in Win Show, with a full hour of unpredictable antics from these two rascals who are the co-hosts of the show. Is that right, Don?
I don't think you've ever been right.
Good. See, there we go. We're starting with the beginning. That's an example of what you can
expect. Yeah, we don't want to go there.
From the Don and Win Show. What do we call it? Drive Time Radio with a...
I don't know. If I leave it up to you, it'll be Faulty Towers all over again.
Drive Time Radio with Lemon Twist.
So how you doing? How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Are you?
Why not?
Yeah, good, good. It's been a long time. We haven't spoke.
Yeah, well, it hasn't been a long time. There is no time. So it seems to me like the last time we were together was just a moment ago.
Oh, well, good for you.
You know there's no time.
Well, you know, it certainly feels like it. Your time is just, you know, I guess every moment as it comes, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's kind of like I have my whole diatribe on time. You don't want to hear that, do you?
On time?
You want to hear a diatribe?
Sure.
A diatribe on time?
Diatribe.
Diatribe, right. So the way that I look at it is that we live in multi-dimensions as well as in the physical realm. And in this dimension...
Well, I know time, you do. I know time, you do.
Everyone does.
Well, you do.
And time is... You don't... You don't have... I mean, you're just in the physical. You don't have a multidimensional side to you?
Well, of course. I'm multifaceted, sure.
Not multifaceted, multidimensional.
Right, I'm that too.
Okay.
And I'm this.
And what?
And I'm this, so yeah. I get it.
And so, the thing is, we only are aware of the part of us that's in the physical realm. So our senses are only designed to see this part. But we exist in multi-layered beyond the veil. But you have to figure out how to tap into the awareness of different timelines. And there is a way to do it. So time has, for example, it's like you and I are always together, even when we're not. I mean, on some level, there's a place where our energies come together. There's no time and space, and that we can potentially access that. And, you know, everyone is moving their consciousness into these levels all the time. Like, for example, everyone knows the experience. There's times when time moves slowly, and there's times when time moves fast. Even though on the linear level, the clock always moves the same way. When you're in pain, time moves really slow. And when you're in joy, the time goes really fast. And, of course, right now, because of all these intermingling of dimensions that's happening, this, you know, the vibes of higher dimensions coming into this realm, there's a...
Boy, it feels like it's moving at lightning speed, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, time is speeding up, but not everyone can perceive it. You know, because there's still people that won't let go of the 3D paradigm, which keeps their perception of time back in the old pattern. But there's more potential to experience time from a higher dimension now than there ever has been in the history of mankind. And it only takes a slight bit of, intention and reaching to move into that experience now. So that is actually the definitive experience for upgrading your energy for this dimensional shift. So.
You know, here, I honestly, with all my heart, I hope everybody's right. 2012 is going to be a crescendo. It's going to be a pinnacle, the zenith of these energies. And that's going to bring a lot of beautiful changes. I mean,
I never said that.
Well, a lot of people do.
I can tell you.
I think, I hope they're right. I think it's going to be an ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it ends at 2:12.
Well,
I don't know if that is the crescendo. I tend to think that, hey, maybe they do coincide if because of the alignment and such. But I don't know if there's any great, I guess you'd say, instantaneous moment that occurs.
I don't think there is either.
Yeah.
I don't think there is either.
Doesn't,
I think it's...
But
although that, you know, in the channelings, and this is something that I don't ever tell people is true, because I don't know if it's true or not. You have to just, you know, consider it as a possibility. But in the channelings of at least four people that I've directly connected with,
right,
starting with David Wilcock, going to Daphne, going to Terry, and this guy Matthew Edwards, who was a guest on our show, you know, it's like independently verifying and asking questions and coming up with the
That's
same...
That's something spectacular. In other words, no, honestly, because I feel it. I just can't put my mind around it to put... I mean, there is something that's crescendoing. And what happens when it reaches that peak? Does it just start to slowly, or does it just stay there, flatline at the peak, or does it slowly tail off, or is there something really spontaneous that happens at that point, or does it start to climb?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I mean, according to my sources, according to my sources, the way it works is that there's nothing happening to us that we're not participating with in the creation of. So everyone who's listening right now is part of the creation of what's going on. So when you say, Wynn, tell me what's happening, that means it sounds like you're not part of the creation of it anymore, and it's going to happen regardless. Now,
Because I asked.
Well, no.
Folks, stop asking your dumb questions.
If I was going to think like a group soul, which I start to, because I talk.
Are you just staying in it, huh?
If I'm going to think like a group soul, and answer.
Now there's a good question. How would you think like a group soul?
Well, first of all, I'm part of a group soul. So I have a connection with a group soul. And so sometimes they mix in vibrationally with my field. But in having numerous communications with two groups, or these voices that say they're group souls, and asking them numerous questions, I have an idea of how they come to their answers. So when somebody asks a specific question, usually they'll say, well, there's probability vortices. And this
I like the channels that you... I like the good old days. Give me old Edgar Cayce. Give me Edgar Cayce when somebody could say, where is it exactly? Oh, okay, well, if you'll check behind here, go there, behind the set of bookcases, behind there, and there's your bottle. And then people can verify what he stated. I mean, in a lot of instances, there have been psychics that say, oh, you want an answer? Here's an answer you can verify. Of course, the person probably wouldn't know it in a million years, but they happen to know and give valid things that can be verified. Now, when channels are able to do that, then anything they say after that, from their lips to my ears to God, I'm ready to listen. But,
yeah, but
more often not, there can be legitimate sources that are saying, yes, indeed, I'm not just your mind screwing with you. I'm not your mind that thinks it's 20 people and it's got that schizophrenic on the pizzazz going. I am not the person that likes to talk to himself and actually answers himself. And I'm not, see what I mean? So I like to, and a lot of people have gotten so good at it, they can't even tell the truth, they can't even tell the difference. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am very discerning now when it comes to all that. Mostly because of you, my wonderful co-host, who's told me often enough, Don, be discerning, be discerning, be discerning, chew, be discerning, be discerning, be discerning, be, and you did. So I got that. And now I don't even believe you.
Well, good. I don't think you should believe me. In fact, you know, I think when you're...
I like that word. What was that?
When you're exposing yourself to channeled information, the first thing one should do is look for wisdom that you can apply.
Yeah, but then why doesn't the person say, I'm just going to be talking from my higher self. I'm just going to go into that realm where knowledge is, and I'm going to pull it forward. Why is there always these labels, these group souls, this single soul, this son, that man, this dog, his cat?
Well, there's two aspects. One is there's wisdom, that it doesn't matter whether it comes from me, from a group soul, from your
mother. But a lot of these, have you ever noticed, I mean, does Gandhi go out there and channel all the beings in the world, or did he? Or
Gandhi.
Buddha? Or Krishna?
You know what?
Or, no, hold on. Let me just keep going here. There's a lot of them, maybe even Jesus. I don't know if they would often channel all this wonder. And I think they just lived their higher selves, and they didn't have to give information out to others. And while telling the people you're giving the information to, that this is coming from these other sources, but be discerning. Now, if I told you this is coming from other source, but be discerning, and then 5 years later, this is coming from other source, but be discerning, eventually enough people think that's coming from other sources, but they should have listened to the second part the first time. Now, it's all great. I do. I love it. And I think that people are bringing out their hearts, their minds, their wisdom, their the depth of their love, and they're doing it. I just don't like all the names, labels, categories, phrases. And then, because then you're portending that it is of something that it may not be, and it gives it such, maybe, veracity at the time. Well, the poor word. It gives it, it's challenging. Challenging.
Well, you know what? I think that one of the great things about everything in this plane is you can take in information and you can decide how to use it. Now, it's like if a voice is talking to you and they say, we're this name. You know, I have to say, through Carla Ruckert, Ra said something that I never forgot that stuck with me. Because if I have it correct in the way this works, it's been Ra's challenge, Ra the group's soul, to figure out how to insert something into this realm that will help evolve it. And that they've tried many, 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 many things, and whereas from our point of view and religious point of view, you know, one thinks...
Well, if they're running things, and they've tried many, many, many things, we're in big
things.
Trouble.
They don't run things because running things abrogates free will. There has to be a coming together. But, for example, do miracles work? You say, okay, give me a miracle. Give me answers that I can validate. Do you know what? What if negative sources can do that? Which they can. Okay?
Oh, brother.
How do you know?
That's like saying I'm a Catholic, Baptist, and no matter what you tell me, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen. I hold strong to my faith.
Well, what did Jesus
now,
say?
Now,
Jesus.
Right.
Jesus.
But there's a time to hold on to good faith, and there's a time to let go of nonsense.
Okay.
Sometimes they come into the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, Don, you know my story.
I know your story. I think it's incredible. I think it does happen.
No, it's backwards.
I believe you. I'm just trying to play the devil's advocate here. I really believe you.
I don't keep you updated on everything.
I just don't think all the information that you get would be even. I believe that the mind can get out there and and tap into information. I believe you on that. I just that the all the fancy bells and whistles and everything that goes with it is kind of hard. Hold, we got a caller. You want to take it?
Go ahead. Let's see.
All right. Caller, you're on the air with Don and Wynn. Welcome.
Hi, Don. It's Juliana.
Hi, sweetheart.
How you doing?
I am doing excellent.
I'm listening to you and Wynn, and I have a question for you, Wynn, okay?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, fine.
Yeah. Do you find that all of this stuff with the channeling is, in one way, it's helping people to wake up to their higher self, multidimensional self, or whatever, but on the other side, it is making people pretty much lazy. Now, I have a question. That's a question, but I also have a statement. What I have been finding with many, many people that I've been talking to, they're sitting and waiting by listening to this channeling stuff. They're waiting for the ETs to come.
For all their answers. They're waiting for everything to happen.
Exactly. And in the situation that this world is in today, not even our country, but I'm speaking of the whole world, I think this is...
It's almost like PSYOPs got a hold of the whole program and said, okay, let's have some fun.
Right, and it's like...
Let's take these guys for a spin while we totally do them in the keister. This will really get them going. I love you, Juliana. Thank you, yes.
and I mean, up until today, I had a friend that called me that lost her house 3 months ago because she was waiting on a channeling that she had listened to, that she was told that the ETs was going to help her where her house wouldn't go into foreclosure. Now she's waiting on help once again, and she's living in a little room in somebody else's house, and I'm seeing that it's causing a lot of, let's say, maybe to put it in a real
confusion,
nice kind of way, confusion.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you ask a channeler, or if you ask somebody who has the gift a question, they'll give you an answer. And you could ask maybe 20 of them and get all the answers, and maybe, if you're lucky, you'll find the answer in there through a pattern, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Now, listen, may I have a shot at answering the question, okay?
I can't hear you, Wynn.
Can I have a shot at answering your question?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let me say that there's no reason to put channeled information on some kind of pedestal and say, because it's channeled, I'm going to follow it.
Uh-huh.
And there's no reason to wait from everything I understand.
Well said.
Everything is in the now. And it doesn't matter whether information comes from a channel source or from Wayne Dyer. If it helps your life...
Dreyer or Dyer?
Wayne Dyer. Wayne Dwyer, I don't know. If it helps your life and it helps you operate and it helps you connect with God, then it's positive. If you're giving up your power, you know, you can give up your power to a channel source.
Right.
You can give it up to your husband. You can give it up to any book that's wise. And... You don't just speak of channeling like it's all the same any more than you would speak of Hispanic people and say they're all the same whatever.
I think we've got one of the best channels in the world on our network, Mick and Sylvie Avery, Spirits Work. Yeah. I truly believe they're they're probably one of the best trans mediums in the world.
Everyone has to find what they're attracted to that helps them grow, okay? Helps them expand their awareness and their consciousness.
Right.
Now, I would never in my life imagine that I was going to be talking about channeling to the public and having these experiences. I don't need to do that. I have so many things that I could be doing.
No, you need to do that. Come on now.
No, no.
Oh, give it up.
I don't need to do it.
Give it up.
I don't need
to.
It
is a part of you. You need to do it. It's your path. You think it's your path. It's your need.
I do it because I am watching the results in the people around me who are utilizing this and growing.
Yeah, you do it. I mean, I do it. She does it. We all do it.
Right.
Everyone has to find their own way and their own path.
Right. But the thing that
I mean,
and the point that I'm trying to make, maybe I'm not explaining it clear because it is complicated, but the thing that I'm seeing is with all of this channeling out there about ET help is coming, channelings of the archangels, channelings of the inner earth with Adam and
Adam man and atomic man and he no I know they've got a name for everything now and
yeah.
All of them are being channeled and some are now combined and being channeled and others are just I don't even know if they want to be channeled.
Well, the critical thing I see with that is I see people instead of getting up off of their behinds and starting to make a positive good change in our country and in the world by getting up and doing good things and helping one another and making a change themselves, they are saying, well, oh, we don't have to worry about this because this channel...
Nazara's coming.
Exactly.
You're going to get all your bank checks
and
they're going to be there when you just least expect it, you lucky people.
Exactly, and all this manifesting crap. I mean, you know, I was into that too, and I mean, God knows... I tried to manifest many things, and maybe I did manifest a few things, but I finally woke up and I realized that...
Man, this is giving me a headache.
Well, anyway, I mean, I don't know, but I think a lot of it is hurting people, and I see people getting really lazy and not doing anything, and I think the only thing that's going to clean up this country and the world is people getting up, standing up with their strength and their own power, and doing the work themselves instead of waiting on somebody else to do it for them. And,
but listen, you don't
I
sound
agree.
Like you're describing
I agree.
Channeling.
Well said.
Wait a second. It doesn't sound like you're describing channeling. It sounds like you're describing marriage.
Well, no, I'm talking about channeling, but I'm talking about because of the channelings that have been going on, like the Galactic Federation, like the Seleucids and the Karens and the Hottons and all this different stuff. People have been relying on this. I've actually heard so many people say, we don't have to worry about the election that much. We don't have to worry about who's up there because
I've
the
heard
Galactic
even,
Federation is watching over us.
Right. They've blessed John Conyers. They've blessed Obama. They've blessed Hillary. I'm waiting for him to bless McCain. I, honest to God, there's going to be some channelers out there that will.
Yes.
I just haven't found
yes.
them.
Yes. You see, that's what I'm trying to say. And then they're saying, well, we don't have to worry about the earth changes because the ETs are up there. We see the UFOs in the sky all the time, and they're fixing the plates over on the Pacific coast, and they're fixing the volcanoes, and all of a sudden one morning we're going to wake up, and
the
shift is going to be here.
And here's this big picture, and all these dots, they're UFOs that are all helping.
Right. Yeah, right. I mean, the people are really confused because they're so desperate.
They're desperate for
a change.
But they don't realize they are change.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Right. They're so used to depending on others for so long.
That's right. I love Juliana, well said.
Juliana, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you believe you continue after you die?
Oh, definitely.
Now, do you think that, depending on how you live your life, your is going to affect what happens to you when you die?
I can't hear you.
I missed
again?
The part after your
I said, do you think that how you live your life while you're alive
mm-hmm.
is going to impact you when you're dead?
Oh, most certainly.
Now, are you traditionally Christian or kind of... What's your personal philosophy? Or
I just believe in a God. I believe that there, I believe in a God. I believe that there is a greater force out there somewhere. I believe that that great force is a part of me, you, and everybody else, because that greater force is the creator of us. Whether there was ETs out there that put their genes in us or spliced us or hybrid us or whatever, but I believe in a greater force. I believe with all my heart in that. I never used to until my healing in 1996, and then it turned my whole life around, and then, because up until then, I was so confused and I was so scared of the God that I had heard about in the churches, that was one God they told you about was a loving, just God. The other God they told you about in the Bible was a revengeful and
terrible. Wanted you to put your son on a platter while you knifed him.
Excuse me?
Well, you know, some of those stories are pretty absurd.
Yes, and I was so scared of that. I was so scared of God. I was scared. I didn't believe in angels. I didn't believe in anything. But then when what happened to me in 1996 with my healing with the cancer, that changed my life. And with the information that whoever that was gave me, it changed my whole attitude in my life. And yes, I do believe that when you die, I believe that our bodies, our physical bodies, is just our suit encasing our soul. And I believe that when we die, our soul leaves our body and goes on to another dimension. Yes, I do. I really do believe that.
I like it. That's about me in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your healing. Would you like to share that with our audience?
What? You're coming in real craggy in my phone.
I said, if you'd like to, would you like to share your healing?
Well, I don't want to take the butt in here and run my big mouth and take up yours and Don's show. I mean,
well, I think it's very inspiring when somebody has a healing.
What?
You know, one of the things is every time you talk about that, there's going to be somebody listening right now that you give hope to, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because there's people that don't believe that can happen. So
yes.
If you want to, you know, it's a service to share it, if you'd like to share it.
Okay, well, I'll try to do it in a little short thing where I want to take up your time, because I don't want to take up your show. I'm very respectful with things.
This is not our show. It's ours and your show. I mean, if you have something to contribute and we have the venue, Don and I have nothing we do on the show.
Oh, I listen to you every night now for years, and I love it. Every night. I never miss it, and I think it's a wonderful show.
You're the best.
Yes, I enjoy
it. I love you so much
from you and Don. I really do. I think you guys are great together, and I truly look forward to it every Saturday night.
You're not related to Don, are you?
No, I'm not. We're all related. I believe we're all sisters and brothers. I believe we're all family. But anyway,
thus far, it's only been Don's relatives.
Well, you were asking about my... No, Don is a very good person, a good soul. He's been a very good friend to me from when I met him first on BBS, when I had my show on there. And he is one of the most honest people I have ever met in my life besides myself. And I love that in him. I cherish that.
Oh, Juliana, thank you.
Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. We both stand for truth, and I really honor that in you tremendously. And this is no brown nosing, because I'm straight black and white. I don't brown nose anybody. There's no need for that.
Thank you.
Anyway, if I can help somebody with what I'm going to say, and I'm going to try and say it quickly, I would be honored to help. This was in 1996. I had cancer, and I had 19 people in my family die from 1994 to 1995 with cancer. Even my cat died, and then I came down with cancer in the end of 1995 in November, and I thought I was a goner. And up until then, like I told you a while ago, I didn't want anything to do with God or angels or anything, because as a little girl, I had grew up in church, and I was scared to death of God. I mean, from what I had learned in church, that if you did any of the things that I had been doing up until then, that God was very angry at
right.
you.
God was pissed.
Yes, big time. And you were going to burn in hell. I mean, I had been a barmaid. That was what I did for a living. I drank. I smoked. I mean, I danced. I partied. I was just a happy-go-lucky, carefree little butterfly. And I was, as far as I was concerned, I was on God's top of his worst list. Anyway, so I came down with this cancer, and I just kept getting worse and worse, and I didn't have any insurance, and I didn't have any money. I was your basic poor person, and I was diagnosed with tumors in November of 1995, but I was finally diagnosed with it being cancer in around February of 96, around February, March, something like that in 96. Anyway, I kept getting worse and worse and worse. I kept getting bigger with fluid. The only place I didn't have any tumors was in my brain and in my lungs. Every place else in my body, I had tumors, and huge tumors. And I had to keep going to the doctor. I was getting some state help. They were paying a portion of it, and then we were paying the rest. So I had to go to the hospital where they gave me, they were monitoring me, and they were giving me sonograms. They were giving me mammograms, and they were wanting me to take their drugs, painkillers, because I was in excruciating pain, and I was telling them, no, I don't put that kind of stuff in my body. I had stopped drinking. They said alcohol made cancer spread like putting gasoline on a fire, so I stopped drinking immediately. Before I really started getting really, really bad, in the beginning when they said it was tumors and it could be malignant, I had stopped from then. Anyway, this was in September 1996, I went in, they called me and they told me I needed to come in for this sonogram, and I said, I don't know why, I don't have the money for the surgery, and they insisted that I come in for the sonogram. They wanted $80,000 to do, I think it was 4 major surgeries on me, a complete mastectomy, complete hysterectomy, a tumor removed off of the back of my neck, where my neck bone joins my shoulder
area.
Don't
you just love doctors? I mean, I don't like to laugh, but this is your medical profession, folks, right? I mean, if you aren't spelling it out exactly the way it is out there, whoa.
Exactly.
I wish people would have heard Natural Solutions Radio this morning at 7 to 9. They were talking about this, too, and all these radiations that they nail you with.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's what they wanted to do. And I was saying to them, if I take this radiation, if I take this chemo, what guarantee is this that I am going to be okay, that I'm going to be healed? Oh, well, there's no guarantee in anything. I said, well, why am I going to make myself worse? And I went in for the sonogram, and I got there the first thing in the morning at 7 o'clock. I checked in. Everybody knew me in the hospital. I had made so many trips there. And I was talking to the guy at the receptionist counter, Robert, and he and I were talking and laughing, and then about 45 minutes or so went by, and then the place started filling up, and it was about 12:15 of us there. I had been sitting there on the side of my leg because I couldn't sit flat for an hour and 45 minutes because I kept watching the clock waiting to see when I would get called in. I was really in pain and uncomfortable. And all of a sudden, the door opened up where you go in to go through a hall down to the sonogram room, and there was a man. He came to the door. He was about 5'8 or 5'9. He had extremely broad shoulders. And a normal, very normal-looking man, very handsome man. He had hair down to his shoulders. It was cut like in layers. It was very black hair. He had white skin, but it was the type of skin, you know, like if it's an olive person and they don't go in the sun for a while, how it looks like that kind of a color. But the thing that was the two things that made me feel really strange with him was that he looked directly across the waiting room, straight into my face, and he goes, Juliana, come with me. And the first thing I thought was, how does he know me? I never saw him before. And then as I stared in his face, I said, my God, I never seen such weird-looking eyes. His eyes were white ice blue with little teeny black pupils. Well, I didn't think anything more of it than he was another one, another person there, someone new that I hadn't seen. So I got up and started shuffling across the floor, and I got up to him. As I was walking up to him, there was people in the waiting room, and they were saying to me, couple ladies said to me, oh, you poor thing, you must be going to have triplets, you're so huge. Well, I was used to hearing that, so I had made jokes about it. So I said to this one lady, I said, yeah, they'll be here in 2 weeks, and I'll be glad to get rid of this big belly and this big load. And I just kept on shuffling over. I got to him, he cupped my left arm into his right arm, and he gently led me into the sonogram room. And I got over to in there, and I looked around in the little room, and I said to him, where's Barbara? And Barbara was the lady that had given me my other sonograms up until then. And she had given me, I think this was my either my fourth or fifth sonogram, but she had given me all the other ones. So anyway, he says to me, he has the little nightie that they give you to put on in his hand and a sheet, and he goes, Barbara's not here for you today, Juliana. He said, I'm here, and when you're ready, I'll be back. And all this stuff has been, like, tattooed into my mind, into my brain. It's like every day I think about this, and it's like it never goes away. Anything else in my mind that has happened years ago, I can kind of, like, forget, but this is with me forever. Even the feeling I can, when I start thinking about it, I can feel the feeling I had in the presence of this person or whoever he was. Anyway, I got really upset because I was saying, I started to talk to God, and I said, God, I said, this is really embarrassing. I said, here I am in all this pain, and here I am with this young, good-looking man, and I have to have this embarrassing examination and procedure done to me, and I can't deal with it. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to lay here on my little bed, and I'm going to look up at the ceiling and concentrate on you. Please let this be over with real quick so I don't know about it because I'm really embarrassed. Anyway, in the process of doing that, the door opens up and he walks in, and I'm laying there on the bed with my feet up in the stirrups and the little sheet over me and everything, and he comes in down at the foot of my bed, and I wouldn't look at him because I was going to do what I said. Anyway, he comes in down at the foot of my bed, and I hear him say, Juliana, I see you brought your angels with you today. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, this guy is a kook. This is some crazy person from Key West. He's nuts. And what am I going to do in this compromising position and being so ill? How am I even going to run because I can't run? So I started to cry. I got so scared I started to cry. And I raised up on my elbows, and I looked at him, and I was, tears was just pouring down my face, and I said to him, what did you say? And he goes, I see you brought your angels with you today. And I said, oh, my God. I said, do you...
Oh, my God. Get me the hell out of here.
I'm flipping. I said, oh, my God. And I said, do you really... I was getting pretty pissed. I said, do you really see my angels? I said, are you telling me the truth? Do you really see my angels? He said, Julie, and he pointed at the corners of my bed as he said it. And he had this big old glowing smile on his face. And he goes, Juliana, you have one there, you have one there, you have one here, and you have one here. He said, and they're huge. You have four golden archangels, and they're huge. They're from ceiling to floor. And he says, and then he starts to come around on the side of the bed next to me. So I decided I better get up and sit up because I don't know what's coming next. So he comes right up next to me about 3 inches from me. And he put his hands, he kind of like clasped his hands and turned his head on the side. And he had such an incredible look of compassion and kindness and love just oozing out of him. And he goes, Juliana, he said, they're your angels, they're your guardian angels. And he said, they've always been with you. And he And I said, "You really see my angels?" And he said, "Yes." So then he says to me, he goes, "Juliana, God has sent me here today with a message for you. And now I'm so freaked, I can't even talk. And I try to say God, and I go, God. This weird noise came out of my throat." And he's looking at me, and he's just smiling and glowing. And he goes, "Yes, Juliana, God." And he goes, "Juliana, God wants you to know that God loves you very much. And all cancer will leave your body today. You will be healed. And God has sent you to this earth to complete a very special purpose for God. And you will not leave this earth until you complete that purpose." And I was so scared and so freaked out and didn't know whether to believe him or not, but I felt this euphoric feeling. I can't even describe it in words. And so I just sat there and listened. Well, the next thing I remember, I do not remember laying back down on the bed, but the next thing I remember was I was stretched straight out in the bed, and instead of my feet in the stirrups, I was just stretched straight out on the bed with my feet over the edge, but they were just straight out. And he was standing next to me on my right side, and he took his two hands, he dropped his thumbs underneath his other fingers, he put his two hands together, and he started going in a circular motion from my throat down to my toes and all the way back up again, and speaking some language that I don't know what it was. I used to also work as a sales representative for properties in the Caribbean, and I used to go to different trade shows and seminars, and sometimes I would be with like 600-700 people, and people from all over the world, so I heard many, many languages, and I had never heard this language that he spoke before. So I don't know what he was saying. But anyway, he did this, and while he was doing this, the right cheek on my butt was kind of like tingling, and I went to put my hand there to scratch to see what was going on, and my hand slipped under me. And I said to myself, "My God." And I stuck my hand in to see what was happening, and I started running my hand up and down sideways along my body, because my body was up at least a good 2 inches off of the table. I was in a feeling where every day of my life, I say to God, "God, I know I'm not supposed to call myself stupid. I'm supposed to think of myself real highly and love myself. But God, I'm really upset with myself because I have so many questions that I want to ask that man. I should have asked him." But I was in a feeling that I was in, all the pain left my body. I was in complete peace. I was in complete bliss. I was, it was the most awesome, euphoric feeling. Words in the English language cannot do justice and explain it to you.
You are the most lovely woman, I got to tell you. I almost, I got tears running down right now just listening to you. I was just about almost cracking up, only because it's that, such a beautiful story. Whenever I hear stories where you actually get that type of a situation, a visitation, it's, I had one of those. It was, but it was a little different. But again, it was miraculous. God, I love you, Juliana. Wow.
I love you too, John.
You're a special girl.
You are too, John, and we're all special. I mean, we're all special to God. It's like the letter I put tonight on the about the homeless on TNT board.
Straight from the heart. That's what you called your program. It was so aptly named.
Yes, it's straight from the heart. And I always was a nice person, but I was never the person I am today until this happened. Because,
well, why don't you give me a call?
Okay.
And let's look to put you up on the schedule, at least for an every other week show.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Because I want you, your strength, your beauty, and your love back on this network.
I love you, John. Thank you.
I love you, too.
Thank you. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you. And I hope that this story helped people, because it took 6 months for these tumors, for the swelling in me, to completely go down to normal. But from that moment on, nothing ever hurt again. The jaundice left my eyes. My skin went from gray to the natural color. My hair stopped falling out. My nails stopped falling out. I was feeling wonderful. I called the hospital 3 days later looking for him to thank him again, and they told me that I was crazy. They asked me what kind of drugs I was on, and I told them they knew better than that because they had tested all my blood. They knew I had nothing in my blood, and I wouldn't even take their prescription drugs, and that I didn't take drugs before this happened. All I did was drink and smoke cigarettes. So anyway, I hope this helps someone. There is a God. I can't tell you what happens when you die. I can't tell you anything like that, but I can tell you there is a merciful God, because God saved my life, and that's why I do the things I do today. That's why I rescue animals. That's why I help people. That's why I send and give love to everyone, and that's what we need to change this world. We need to really reach out and help one another without judgment, without prejudice, without any kind of hang-ups, and understand that we're all down here doing the best that we can, and just because we might make a boo-boo every now and then, forgive each other with compassion,
yeah,
and change this sad, sad world, because this could be a beautiful place if we did that.
It will be a beautiful place,
yes,
because we're going to do it. We're doing it.
Yes, and
yeah.
Wynn, thank you so much. I hope this helps someone. I really do. I really do.
Well, Juliana, I thank you so much.
It's helped me.
For sharing this. And thank you for being our listener. And thank you for your comments.
No problem. No problem. And God bless you all.
God
and I
bless
love you.
You. Thank you, Juliana, for being a part of the Donna Wynn Show.
And now I'm going to thank you, Don. I'm going to kick back with my dogs and my cats and finish listening to your show.
Okay, and we'll hear from you tonight or tomorrow. Give me a jingle.
Good night, Don. I'll probably give you a ring in the morning, because next I want to listen to Zany and then
so do I.
Love you guys.
Love
good
you
night.
Too. Good night.
Good night.
All right. That was Juliana Tibbetts, straight from the heart, folks.
Was that Juliana from Straight from the Heart?
Yeah.
She does a show, right?
She had a show with us, yeah. Early on, and it's, you know, there's always things as you process on and the network changes and lives change. But we hope to have her back, I'll tell you.
Okay.
She's fabulous. Fabulous.
She is.
All right. And she has great interviews when she gets them, and you're just going to always feel her heart. The passion and the heart, it's amazing. There's a lot of archives, I think, that you guys could, even if you want to refresh for it, go through and listen to them.
Mm-hmm. So in any case, here we're talking about miracles and channeling.
Your channeling's a little different. You know, I got to give it that credit. Your channeling doesn't say that here are your answers. You know, there's a lot of channelings. If, like, let's say you go to schnitzelpunt.nl.
Go to where?
Well, there's a link on bbsradio.com. It's down on the bottom right side of the homepage. And it's a blog, Schnitzel blog. If you go there, you'll be able to read all the channelings you'll ever want to read. And then there's some subscription, Yahoo subscription list that you can get on, and they'll send you so many every day. It'll be a little overwhelming, probably, at first. But, again, Juliana was quite right. It's almost silly. It's gotten to the point where it's silly.
Well, you know what? Everyone has to use discernment. And because you use a certain word, like channeling, does not mean that you should make a blanket judgment for or against channeling.
I don't. I think some people actually do have that gift, but they've been trained. They've wanted to do all their life, and usually those people, some of them make it. They're the few that just happen to be able to do it, that have the gift. Don't know who can and who can't do it. You know, it would depend on me, you know, listening to them and what my opinion was on the matter. But can it be? Sure. Is it? Sure. It's not like I don't believe in it. I just think there's so much of it out now that so much of it's confusing, and really people are just putting their thoughts on paper, and they're coming from a mind meld, you know, mind box somewhere, and they're putting a lot of their thoughts on paper, and often enough they don't realize that a lot of that can lead to pretty aberrant thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Everyone has to explore and make their own decision about everything.
I agree.
What touches them. I mean, you can take anything, any particular topic or any particular modality. And, I mean, I used to do astrology charts years ago. And
I love astrology and numerology.
Well,
and I love, and I mean, I really do, shamanism,
mm-hmm.
healing arts.
If you take shamanism.
I like Chandler's, too. I mean, if you listen to Mick and Sylvia Avery, Spirits Work. Radio, excellent,
yeah.
Excellent stuff, and I think Carolyn Evers, The Message, wow, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find someone who doesn't like that show.
Does Almeen Channel
and The Messenger? Pardon me.
I noticed Patricia Corey has a show, right?
Well, there's a few others on the network. Almeen has incredible information, but I've told people that before. Almeen. There's a lot of people that I don't know whether they say they're. You know what I mean? It just depends. Some people say they're working with their higher guide. Some people say they're working with their higher selves. Or some people say they're channeling. I don't know. What's the difference?
Well, you know what? Regardless of what people say, you have to figure it out yourself. Because they could be right, and they could be wrong.
Could be wrong. It could be everybody's right. We're just living right.
or it could be, there's just different ways of looking at the whole thing. I think, in my own particular bias here, is that there's things that resonate. When I read them, I feel an energy.
We got 2 minutes left, though.
I feel a connection with the source, and it resonates. There's things that I'm not sure of. And there's things that don't resonate.
Yeah,
And the bottom line is, I can say myself, I have personally grown immensely as a result of my exposure to channeled sources. And I've seen a great insight into how a universe works through my experience. And that insight has expanded my ability to tap into other realms as a real experience. That's my experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So everyone has to draw on something.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I would never tell anybody to believe anything, and particularly me. And I tell people to read my channelings, but if anyone wants to read my channelings,
you better read this.
email me. And I'm sending a free ebook out called Questions and Answers with the Elohim. Winfrey@yahoo.com, and please, you know,
send us your questions. We'll give you answers.
Yeah,
right.
Read their answers and see.
Do you know they're their answers? How do you even know it is the Elohim or the
world? Well, I tell that to people. I say, you figure it out.
You figure it out. Here's your answer.
You know the answer. the answer.
We got to close here in about 30 seconds. Yeah. So let's call in the light.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies to the center of the earth. And right now we create a group energy. Those of us that want to participate in that, we invite those higher forces in other dimensions to join with our group energy, whether that's God, whether that's Allah, whether that's the Elohim and the Ra groups, whatever word you want to use. And we send this energy around our planet to find those areas of darkness, despair, hurt, pain, and that this energy might be available and uplift those spaces and honoring the free will of those who are in those places. And on that note, we wish you a good night. This is Winfrey, and my co-host, Don Newsome.
Thank you.
And we have Zany Mystic on next.
We've got Zany Mystic coming, a fireside chat.
All right. Okay.
All right. Wynn, thank you once again. Love having you on the program. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Don. Thank you for the opportunity to share a bit of my experience tonight. And we'll see you all next week.
Next week. All right, folks, you heard it. Tune in again next week to the Don and Wynn Show. We'll be back at the same time, same place. Up next, Fireside Chat, Zany Mystic. You don't want to miss it. It's one of my favorites.
I love you.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone. And we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.